And that was Battleground. And I guess we're going to be switching gears, changing gears here, and talking about the G1.
Oh, yes, we are definitely going to talk about the G1. And I'll tell you right now, everyone listening, I'm 2 days behind on the G1 right now. Tonight is my night to catch up. I'm going to finish up the two episodes I need to see. I already have them queued up on my Xbox, ready to go. But it doesn't really matter because my good man Diesel doesn't even watch New Japan, so he gets to experience it through my eyes and my voice, and I get to tell you just how flat out amazing this G1 has been so far, Diesel. It's absolutely mind-blowing. I brought it up earlier for a second that even Yano right now has, they had a comedy match with Kenny Omega where both of them had their ankles tied together. I'm not even kidding you. They were hopping around the ring like rabbits, and they were doing moves. Kenny Omega literally did a hopping shoulder block to take Yano down. And then Chase Owens ran out and threw out a scissors. And Kenny Omega cut it, threw Yano out of the ring, hit the V-trigger, and won by countout. So that was one of Kenny Omega's wins. Kenny Omega has been killing it so far. Not as much as Okada. Okada hasn't lost a match yet. And every match that Okada has had has been phenomenal. And so those are two probably, you've seen both Kenny Omega and Okada. We've watched those matches together. Both of their great matches they've had. So, like, I wish I could, I'm going to show you them maybe later. But, like, how do you feel when Kenny Omega, that V-trigger, like, what's your experience with just seeing that V-trigger? Like, what do you think about that knee strike?
It looks brutal. It looks like something that could finish somebody off. I don't know. It's a setup to eventually hit the one-winged angel.
Dude, he hits it like 6 times in a match. It's so awesome.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely one of those moves that looks like it would hurt. It's a believable move.
Yeah, and the Rainmaker, that was my third option for favorite finishers earlier in the night, was the Rainmaker. I didn't want to say it because I'm a Kenny Omega mark, and I was like, I'm not going to put over Okada. But the Rainmaker that Okada does, and the way he can do it against anyone, also Kenny Omega can do the one-winged angel because he's just strong and it's really cool. But even the Rainmaker against Bad Luck Fale was really cool. Bad Luck Fale has also been killing in the G1 so far. So the main storylines, though, in the G1, I got way ahead of myself just talking about matches, and I apologize for that. So one of the main storylines right now, Bullet Club. One of my favorite things. I own every one of their shirts. It's a little sad, to be honest. But the main story is Tama Tonga has been very upset with Kenny Omega. He is sick of all this, the elite stuff, the subdivisions of Bullet Club. Tama Tonga has been around Bullet Club since the beginning. He's one of the original founding members of Bullet Club. There was only 4 of them. It was Tama Tonga, Carl Anderson, Prince Devitt, a.k.a. Finn Balor, and Bad Luck Fale were the original Bullet Club. And Tama Tonga has been there since the beginning, and he is apparently sick of this Kenny Omega crap with everything. And he is going off on Twitter about it even. And they had already had Kenny Omega versus Tama Tonga. And Tama Tonga at one point picked up the mic. And if you don't watch New Japan, but they swear all the time because it's Japan, so they don't understand it anyways. But Tama Tonga just ripped in with F-words saying, who the F is the elite? If you're Bullet Club, you're Bullet Club. And just wailed on Kenny Omega.
Yeah, that sounds like something I want to see. And I'm always interested in seeing Kenny Omega. That sounds like an interesting storyline, and I don't know where they're going to go with that. I mean, like you said, I don't watch much New Japan.
Oh, so Kenny Omega did win that match. They also had a tag match. Kenny Omega had his knee injured right away by Minoru Suzuki in his first round match in the G1. And then they had a Bullet Club tag match. It was all Bullet Club. And it was Tama Tonga and Chase Owens versus Kenny Omega and Tamaharu. I apologize. It's the Tokyo Pimp. I'm not going to say his name right now because I'm going to mess it up, and I apologize. So Tokyo Pimp. Great guy, great Bullet Club member. Own that shirt. So they faced each other, and Chase Owens was apparently supposed to play by the plan, and he was being cool about it, but Tama Tonga went right for that knee again. And then in the match that they had against each other, right for the knee again, just blatant disrespect to Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega won the match at the end. They had a very fretful, too sweet. It, you know, Tama Tonga didn't want to do it, but he lost. And then Tama Tonga already lost his next match, actually, to Evil as well. And now I haven't seen his... I know he has one more match that I haven't seen. But he was still pissed at Kenny Omega. He was yelling into the cameras about Kenny is pissed. And I do... I'm very excited to see where they do with this Bullet Club. I told you long ago that I thought Cody Rhodes was going to break up Bullet Club. But I think Tama Tonga might be the one.
Well, what do you think is going to end up happening?
I think that Kenny Omega is going to leave New Japan here pretty soon. And every time someone leaves New Japan, they have to be taken out by another member. And I think it's time for Tama Tonga to step up to the lead role in Bullet Club. And I think it'd be awesome. He does one of the greatest RKOs slash he calls it the gun stun. It comes out of nowhere. He's the greatest defensive wrestler on the planet right now. He slides behind people, moves around the ring like nobody else. I know you've watched some of his matches. He's been on Ring of Honor. We've seen pay-per-views together with him on it. And he just moves differently than everyone else in that ring.
Yeah, I've only seen maybe like one or two of his matches, so I'm not too experienced with his work. But, I mean, it sounds like an interesting story, and hope you keep me posted on what happens.
Oh, I believe me, I will be talking about it for now and ever, since all of my shirts revolve around. And I'm even wearing the new Gorillas of Destiny Bullet Club shirt that I bought from 1 Hour Tees. That, once again, doesn't sponsor us, but should, because I own like 47 t-shirts. And I just subscribed to your pro wrestling crate. So come on, guys. Follow this podcast. You know you want to. The G1, though, sorry. So I'm just going to update you. Where I'm at in the brackets right now, our current leaders are Kazuchika Okada in B block with 8 points. And in A block, we have Tetsuya Naito, Zack Sabre Jr., and Hiroshi Tanahashi, all tied with 6. And also, the other star in A block, which I haven't even talked about at all because I've only been talking about B block. A block star is by far Kota Ibushi, who you know all about. He was in the Cruiserweight Classic. But Diesel, let me tell you, those shoot kicks that he does to people's chests, it looks like he is shattering people's ribs and sternums in New Japan right now. And he is an aggressive, like, quasi-heel. It's sickening. And, like, so take Cruiserweight. You remember the Cruiserweight Classic, clearly, right?
Yes, and I remember Daniel Bryan on commentary talking about when he wrestled Kota Ibushi, how violent those kicks were. And when you hear it from someone like Daniel Bryan, I mean, you take their word for it.
No, definitely. And these kicks, he had a match with Ishii. And you know who Ishii is. I showed you the Kenny Omega vs. Ishii match. He was also in the World Cup. And so you know how tough he is. And he kicked the living crap out of Ishii. Just headshots left and right. Just caving in faces. And he is doing the Golden Star Powerbomb. That's his finisher right now. He never used that in New Japan. He always used many other moves, but never the Golden Star Powerbomb. But that's now his finisher in the G1. And he did it to Ishii. And Ishii's a big dude.
Wow. And he was classified as a cruiserweight.
Yeah. Classified as a cruiserweight, but he is in the heavyweight bracket in the G1 Classic.
Well, that doesn't sound right to me.
Yeah, well, that's because New Japan kind of knows what's going on a little bit more than WWE at times.
I'll believe it.
Yeah, it's not a question. So anything else? Let me throw a couple other things at you. Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi had a dynamite match. We wish I would have got to see that in the Cruiserweight Classic. They had the match that they probably would have had in that. Zack Sabre Jr. did end up defeating Kota Ibushi in that match. It was really good. I just lied to you. Ibushi won that match. I was thinking of the wrong match.
It happens.
Yeah, it really does. I have my bracket in front of me and everything, and I can't even read it. It's like I'm an idiot. Naito, clearly just been killing it. The first match, main event of the G1 was Naito versus Kota Ibushi, and it clearly delivered so many neck spots that I thought both of them might have been, you know, honestly dead. It's a possibility. But the G1's been phenomenal. Can't wait to watch the next two parts. I'm going to let Diesel talk for a little while. I feel like I've been rambling on about the G1. And Diesel's going to tell me about Impact, which I don't watch. But he tells me it's been getting pretty decent lately.
Yeah, I think the last few weeks since Slammiversary, it's been pretty solid show. I think last week's episode was even better than SmackDown. That's the first time since I've been watching Impact. I thought it was better than a WWE show.
So you're talking last week, not this week, though, right?
I'm going to review this current week's Impact from Thursday, July 27th.
Fair enough. Yeah. So that would be last week's SmackDown. I like it.
What? You're confusing me now.
I apologize. I'm a terrible host.
No, you're not as bad as you think. But anyways, we'll start out. One thing I thought that was odd, the special ring announcer was the mayor of Orlando, Buddy Dyer. And he obviously has never watched wrestling because he didn't get it at all. Like, it wasn't very good. I think they might have ended up switching him out throughout the show because I don't remember. Or maybe you just drowned out because he was so bad. Or they cut him out through post-editing. I don't know, but
well, anyways, it was a taped show, so maybe they did.
So anyways, the first match was a six-man tag with Eli Drake, Chris Adonis, formerly Chris Masters in the WWE.
Does he still do the full Nelson? Like, is that his finisher?
Yep, the Adonis lock.
Nice.
And then their third partner was Ethan Carter III.
EC3.
Yep, and they faced Eddie Edwards, Moose. And Namichi Marufuji from Pro Wrestling NOAH. And from what I've heard and the few matches I've seen with him, he's pretty good. I mean, they say that he has a big following in Japan, and he's one of their top champions, won their title multiple times. So,
I don't know much about Pro Wrestling NOAH right now. I don't watch GFW, but that is a really awesome partnership. And I watch New Japan, but you still know things about Japanese wrestlers that I don't even know.
Yep, they do have a partnership with Pro Wrestling NOAH and AAA. And there was one more, I believe. It was a Japanese company, too, but I can't recall their name.
Isn't it DDT? Wasn't Joey Ryan on TNA for a little bit? I mean, I know that's who Joey Ryan works for mostly. That's the only reason I thought it might be that.
I don't think it's DDT. I can't remember who it is.
I mean, DDT is a really weird promotion. Didn't they have Space Monkey on one of their shows, too?
I don't know.
Oh, I apologize. I don't mean to ask so many questions.
Okay, so in this match, EC3 ended up pinning, I believe it was Moose, and he ended up hitting what would be Christopher Daniels' Angel's Wings, and later in the show he ended up cutting a promo calling it the ECD, Ethan Carter Driver, which I like, and EC3 is probably my favorite on Impact. And
does he do it more like a pile driver, or is it straight up the Angel's Wings?
It's straight up the Angel's Wings.
I mean, nothing wrong with that. I already screwed it up earlier. I tried to call Kenny Omega's finisher the Angel's Wings. So, clearly, it must be a good finisher.
It is a good one. And so then next, Lashley came out to call out Bruce Pritchard. And Bruce Pritchard is one of the many people in charge. I'm kind of confused on who's actually running the show. But last week, Lashley called out Bruce Pritchard to try to get a title shot against El Patron and interrupted a celebration by Matt Sydal, and Matt Sydal wasn't very happy about it, so Lashley ended up attacking him. And so this week, Lashley came out, and Matt Sydal came out, attacked Lashley, and it ended up with him hitting the shooting star press on Lashley. So then it ended up they announced a match for August 17th, Destination X, of Lashley versus Sydal.
So what are they doing with El Patron? Do you know?
I don't know exactly, but from what I read is they have live events coming up this next week, and he's still on the – they're still promoting him to be there. I don't know. From what I read is that – they're also expecting him to be at the next TV tapings, which are the day after Destination X. So I don't know what the plans are yet. I don't know if they're 100% because the story is starting to come out more, and so it's kind of looking like it was more Paige than him. But
it does, it gets really murky. No, so let's not. We don't want to talk about that.
Though, so anyway, so then that was it. And then right now they have the Super X Cup, which is basically a cruiserweight tournament. And this is the fourth week they've done it. They've had one match each week, and this week was Davey Richards versus Taiji Ishimori, also from Pro Wrestling Noah.
Oh.
And it was a pretty solid match, I thought, since Davey Richards has been on Impact for a while and former TNA champion. I thought he was going to get the win, but Ishimura ended up hitting 450 and getting the three count.
Ooh, a 450. I like that.
It was a pretty entertaining match, and so far, all the matches have been pretty good. ACH has advanced.
I do love me some ACH. I told Diesel this before. He really never seen ACH, and I love ACH. He's been in New Japan. He's doing the best of Super Juniors, but now I'm glad you're getting to see him.
Drago advanced last week, and I can't remember who advanced a couple weeks ago, but I remember that was a good match as well. And then next we had a rematch from Slammiversary for the Knockouts Championship, Undisputed Knockouts Championship, because now it's merged with the GFW Women's Championship, with Champion Sienna versus Rosemary, and a last knockout standing match. And it wasn't a bad match. It was pretty violent. They had some chair shots to the head even, and a couple of table spots. And at the end...
what were the table spots? How'd they do it? Well, come on, man. Get a little...
Oh, I was about to explain it.
All right, nice.
So at the end, they had a table set outside the ring. And Sienna has a cousin. His name is KM. I believe his name's KM. He was out ringside the whole time, and he was distracting Rosemary. And Rosemary had Sienna down, and she put her in the corner and set up a trash can, and she was going to go coast to coast. And while she got up on the top rope, Kim came and distracted her, and she hit him with the green mist. And when she looked back, Sienna threw the garbage can, hit her in the face. She fell through the table. Sienna went down, but was managed to roll out of the ring before the 10 and end up retaining her title. It was a pretty solid match, actually.
Was it as good as the Nikki Cross Asuka match?
It was not as good as the Nikki Cross Asuka match. That's one of the better last person standing matches I've ever seen.
I would definitely agree with that.
That was an intense match. And
the final of that match, when that table spot at the end of that match was one of the best. I really thought they were going through the announce table. I thought they were going through the other table, but then instead they went through the announce table. They didn't even use one of the tables.
So that was a good match. And then the next match was Trevor Lee versus Octagoncito, who is from AAA. He is a mini. And right now, the X Division champion is Sanjay Dutt, but Trevor Lee stole the title, and he wears it at all time. He won't even take it off in his matches, which is sweet. So he challenged. He did like kind of like they did with the U.S. Open challenges, and so he challenged somebody, a high flyer that no one's ever seen before, even though he's been on Impact the last couple weeks. And so then Octagoncito ended up coming out, and it's always funny when you have a mini versus like a 6 foot guy. And
yeah, I watch a little bit of Lucha Underground, and it's good stuff. They have he might be the same guy, I don't even know, but yeah, it's fun.
But so then it ended up he couldn't like counter all his high flying moves and his quickness, so he ended up walking out and losing by count out. So Octagoncito won the match, but Trevor Lee still has the belts, but then Sanjay Dutt ended up coming out and trying to attack Trevor Lee, but for some reason, Bruce Pritchard is telling him to just leave it alone, even though he's the champ, so he should. But I don't understand what's going on with Bruce Pritchard and the whole management right now.
I mean, that's the only thing. I don't watch it, but from your explanation, that's the one thing I don't get is who's in charge. And I mean, I don't like everything that WWE does with their management angles, but at least you know who's in charge.
Yeah, it's very confusing because they got Karen Jarrett and then what was his name in WWE? Zeb Coulter.
Oh, Zeb Coulter,
I can't remember his real name off the top of my head right now. Like, all three of them are the ones that are, like, in charge, but they never say who's in charge of who. It's all a cluster muck.
Hey, did you hear about the Karen Jarrett and Braun Strowman thing?
I did. That was an interesting story.
Has anybody come out and denied it yet? Everybody, like, the minute the story broke, they were like, everyone will clearly deny this. But no one's denied it yet, and no one said anything.
No, I don't. I don't know. I don't think it's going to end up too bad. I mean,
who really cares? Maybe he was just tired. I've been cranky before. I snap at people all the time.
Probably drunk.
He is a country man. Braun Strowman is the man. Love me some Braun Strowman.
Yeah, but I wouldn't mess with Karen Jarrett. She has money, so...
She has money, power, and everything else.
I guess she legitimately cut a wrestling promo on him in the middle of the bar.
Yeah, that's apparently what happened.
That's kind of funny.
It's awesome.
He ended up going down to his knees begging and not to tell anybody else.
He's like, don't tell Kurt, please.
I hope someone got it on their cell phone and leaks
it. I can't
wait
for that video to come out.
But anyways, back to Impact. One of my favorite segments throughout the last couple weeks is Grado returned. If you don't know Grado, he's a British wrestler. I don't know exactly where he's from.
He's Scottish, I'm pretty sure.
That's probably right. He's from the UK. How about that?
There you go. Nailed it.
So he's kind of a comedy guy.
He's awesome.
He carries around a fanny pack. And anyways, so he returned, and Joseph Parks, the lawyer, a.k.a. Abyss's twin brother.
A.k.a. Abyss.
Anyways, he came down and informed him that his status in the U.S. was up, and he has to... like, find a way to stay. So they concocted a plan to find him a wife. And so he, one episode of Impact, he went around and asked all the knockouts if they go out on a date with him. And everyone said no. And so he asked Laurel Von Mess,
as Luke would say, Luke Owen from Wrestle Ramble, a.k.a. Wrestle Talk. Once again, plugging another show that doesn't know who we are, but we like you. So we do it.
Yes, and so she's kind of involved with this big guy named Kongo Kong, and he's a scary guy. If you haven't seen him, I would suggest looking him up, and then you'll know what I'm talking about. He keeps on scaring Grado off. And so this week, he finally got in the ring in this bright orange suit that Joseph Park gave him. He said that he knew a lot of people that used this suit when they asked to get married, and it's worked out every time. So he asked her to marry him, and then Kongo Kong came out and chased him out. So this is still an ongoing story, but I think it's pretty funny. I love Grado, and I don't like the Pope, the announcer. He doesn't know his name. He keeps on calling him Grado, when Jeremy Borash and Josh Matthews have no problem saying Grado.
Grado is at the Playboy Mansion, not in a wrestling ring.
Yes, and... yeah, they should just get him off there. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He said a move, and then he goes, Shades of Elijah Burke. And if you don't know, the Pope is Elijah Burke, so you can't – it's kind of
– you can't reference yourself on commentary. Yeah. You can't go, oh, my gosh, there's another guy who looks exactly like me who used to do that move.
Yeah, it's crazy. I don't like him very much. There's a couple of announcers out there, and he's on my list of ones that need to be canned.
Yeah, 100%. I don't even listen to him, but from what you've told me, he sounds like one of the worst. Not the worst, because David Otunga, and he's not going to come back yet, and Booker T, though, is on my list as well.
Yeah, but Booker T will actually make me laugh.
So. Booker T is funny, but I just don't think he cares about what's going on anymore.
So then the main event of Impact was... Alberto El Patron versus LAX in a gauntlet match. And, of course, it was only the three male members because Conan doesn't wrestle anymore, and the female member, that didn't really make much sense. So it started out with Homicide, and Patron hit him with a splash right away, pinned him. He was eliminated. Then it was Ortiz, and they kind of wrestled a little bit. It went to commercial, and then right after they came back from commercial, he pinned Ortiz, and then it was...
What's he pinning people with now? Is it the super kick again, or is it the double stomp, or what's he using in TNA? Or
well, he Impact? Did the splash for...
The first fall?
Yeah, for Homicide, he did the splash, and then on Santana Ortiz, he did the double stomp from the top rope.
Worst move ever.
Yeah, I agree. I don't like it either. And then eventually he faced, was it Homicide? Or, yeah.
You already said Homicide, buddy.
It's all in here somewhere.
Things happen, I understand.
Well, anyways, the third guy, sorry I can't find his name in this, my notes here. They fought for a little bit, then the Diamante... She was the lady wrestler in the group. She ended up getting involved, and then everyone ended up getting involved, and they attacked him. So he won by disqualification. Then his dad and his brother came out, and they were getting attacked. And then the tag team, VOW, the Patriotic Tag Team, the former military men, I think it's a shoot. They really were in the military. And they came out to help him out, and they ended up standing tall in the middle of the ring, and cut to Impact.
And that's how Impact ended right there. And, you know, it sounded like a decent show. Sounds like some weird things. We talked about a lot of weird things in there. But, I mean, so how do you feel about Impact right now, Diesel?
I like the direction it's headed. I think that it's improving. I think that they can only go up. They got good talent, and with the partnerships with Pro Wrestling NOAH and AAA, and that's helping. And
aren't they partnered with CMLL as well?
Or? No, that's Ring of Honor.
Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
But also, there's been rumors that they've been going after Rey Mysterio. They've had meetings, and he's actually had the contract in his hand as it's waiting to be signed. But there's also rumors he's talking with the WWE.
You know who they're also going after hardcore?
Adam Cole.
Baby. My bae. Adam Cole.
Yeah, I don't think they'll get him, though.
No.
If Adam Cole did, it would be huge for him, but I don't think
so. Takeover Brooklyn 3. Adam Cole will be there in the crowd. It's going to be amazing. I cannot wait.